Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Well, a very good morning. Whenever I cross the road, I always look to my right to make sure there is no vehicle coming. I've done this for many years. But one day, after I've looked to my right and saw no vehicle coming, I stepped onto the road. When all of a sudden a car came from my left, almost knocking me down. What happened? Well, I had looked to my right because in Singapore, traffic always comes from the right. But on that day, I was not in Singapore. I was in the United States. And in the United States, unlike Singapore and Malaysia, traffic uses the other side of the road. So instead of looking to my right, I should have been looking to my left. Since drivers in the United States drive on the right side of the road, not the left side of the road. I was almost hit by a car, even though I looked, but I looked in the wrong direction. So we have heard it said, watch where you're going. But we should add that we should also watch where we are watching. We can be watchful, but we can be watchful in the wrong direction, for the wrong things. Today we are considering a long discourse, a long message by Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 13. In fact, it is the longest discourse we have of Jesus in the Gospel. And in this chapter, the key word is watch. It is the first word in his discourse and also the last word in his discourse. And in between, he said the same thing another four times. Watch out, be on your guard. So be on your guard. Be on your guard. Keep watch. And then finally, watch. Now, it is not enough for us to be watchful. We need to be watchful for the right things. So I want to propose today that we not only see, but we see beyond what we see. And that is, we are watchful, but we are watchful beyond what is in front of us, what is obvious, what is visible, what is habitual. Our message today is seeing beyond. We want to see beyond the seen to the unseen. We want to see beyond the short view to the long view, and we want to see beyond the unsure to the sure. I've used words beginning with the letter S to help us remember the outline a little better. Let us begin by considering how we need to see beyond the seen to the unseen. Paul exhorts us, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary or tempora, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. We are easily attracted and distracted by the visible, by the massive and the magnificent. In fact, our world is constantly on a quest for iconic buildings. You know, the tallest building, the oldest building, the most artistic building, the most unusual, and so on. Now, even way back 2,000 years ago, the disciples of Jesus were amazed by a great building, the temple in Jerusalem. When they saw the temple, they said to Jesus, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." Well, indeed, the stones were massive and the buildings were magnificent. We're told by the Jewish historian Josephus, the stones making up the temple were gigantic. They were 37 feet long, 12 feet high, and 18 feet wide, or in meters, 10 meters by 4 meters by 6 meters. That's massive. In fact, these stones are larger than the stones that make up the pyramids of Egypt. Now, how the builders built the temple, piling the stones one on top of the other without forklifts and cranes and modern technology, that's a marvel of ancient engineering. Well, the disciples saw the visible, the seen, the massive, the magnificent, but Jesus saw beyond the visible and the seen. And this is what he said. He said, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." You see, buildings can block our views. We see them, but we do not see what they represent. The people of Jesus' time saw the temple of the Lord, but they failed to see the Lord of the temple. They did not see beyond the temple of the Lord to the Lord of the temple. And it's especially true of the religious leaders of Israel, the custodian of the temple. Look at what they were doing just two chapters before Mark 13. They said, when they heard this, they began looking for a way to kill him, to kill Jesus. That is when Jesus went into the temple and drove out the money changers and the sellers of sacrificial animals. And Jesus said, this is to be a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were plotting to kill Jesus. Now, these were the people who worshipped in the temple. These were the people who revered the temple. And yes, they failed to see beyond the temple to the Messiah, to Jesus, the Christ. He was standing there right in front of them, and they did not recognize him as the Lord of the temple. They could see the temple, but they could not see beyond the temple to Jesus, the Lord of the temple. The same thing can happen to us today. You know, the current COVID-19 pandemic has forced us to look at things differently. It has forced us, for example, to look at the activities of our church, what we can see and participate in, what you have done for a long, long time, as a matter of habit. Like my habit and practice of looking to my right when crossing the road. Now, owing to the COVID-19 situation, we cannot come together. We cannot come together for meetings, for worship services, for Sunday school, and so on. Can we look beyond these meetings? Can we look beyond programs and activities to see the purpose behind them? Can we still achieve the same purpose, but in a different way, or in different ways? We're so used to coming to church, to a place, to a building. Can we look beyond the building to what a church really is? Not a place, but people. Not a building, but lives and relationships. Can we see beyond the seen to the unseen? And as we are told by the Apostle Paul, what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. It's easier to see only the visible and the seen, the physical and the temporal, and miss out what is unseen and eternal. It is also possible for us to see in the short term or the short view and miss out on the long term or the long view. In Jesus' discourse about the end of the world, he compares the signs of the end of the world to birth pains. He says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. These are the beginning of birth pains. When you feel the birth pains, it's not the birth. The birth is still to come. It's not the end. It's only the beginning. I remember the birth of our first daughter. I remember the birth pains my wife experienced. Since it was our first child, everything was new. But one thing we knew, that birth pains come in waves. The pain comes in waves, and each wave is more intense than the last. The pain comes at intervals, and each interval is shorter than the last. In other words, the pain becomes more intense, the pain becomes more frequent, and then the climax of it all is birth. Is a pain is only the beginning, only part of the process. The birth is the climax. So Jesus is telling his disciples, when you see all these things, the end is not yet, it's still to come. This is only the beginning of birth pains. It is in this context that Jesus warned his disciples, and he warns us against false Christ and false messiahs. So what would this false Christ and false messiahs be saying? Remember, the disciples had asked the question of Jesus, when? When will the temple be destroyed? And to them, it carries also the question, when will the end of the world take place? Well, the false Christ answer is now. But Jesus' answer is not yet. Not yet. You see, false Christ will offer instant deliverance. But Christ calls for patience, endurance. That's the difference between the short view and the long view. We ought to be watchful, but we have to be watchful not for quick answers or instant solutions, but over the long haul, over the long view, for patience and endurance. Again, this current COVID-19 pandemic has much to teach us. It has affected all of us. It has brought about disruption, discomfort. It has caused pain. Now, how wish there could be a quick solution, not like a vaccine, that would bring about immunity for everyone in our country, for the matter, everyone in the world. Then we can go back to our old normal. Now, that's a natural line of thinking. We want out of our pain. We want instant and quick deliverance. But often, as often has been said, don't waste a crisis. Don't waste a crisis. We're in the midst of a crisis. We need to ask God what He wants us to learn from this crisis so that we can come out of it better and stronger. Like birth pains, we have to endure them. We have to endure for a time till the birth comes. What is God teaching you during this past year and even now? More time with your family, more trust in the Lord to protect you, to protect your loved ones. You see, we're not promised instant deliverance. We're not promised instant deliverance from pain. We are called for patient endurance through pain. And it is often through pain that God molds each one of us into the image of His Son, Jesus. The question is whether we are willing to wait, to see beyond the short view to the long view, to see God's purpose fulfilled over the long haul. Finally, we have considered looking beyond the seen to the unseen, beyond the short view to the long view. And now let's look at looking beyond the unsure, the uncertain, to the sure and the certain. Augustine of Hippo, the 15th century saint, once said, "Nothing is more certain as death, and nothing more uncertain as the hour of death." Nothing is more certain as death, and nothing more uncertain as the hour of death. How true. Our whole life and existence is predicated upon these two truths, the certainty of death and the uncertainty of its timing. We are caught in between the sure and the unsure, the certain and the uncertain. We know we will die, but we do not know when. And we face the same tension when we come to this discourse in Mark chapter 13, what Jesus said to His disciples. Jesus said that He will return. We know that our Lord will return one day, but we do not know when. Jesus makes it clear that the day and hour of His return is hidden from us. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. Well, He tells the parable of a master of a household. He leaves home and entrusts the household to his servants. He promises to return, but he does not tell them when he would return. Well, the servants of the household know something, but they don't know everything. They know their master will return, but they do not know when. Now, if they had known everything, or if they have not known anything, ignorance would be bliss. If they had known everything, they would be in full control of the situation. You see, knowledge gives us control, while ignorance provides us with bliss. If they know when the master was coming back, they could take it easy and prepare for the master's return just before he came back. But here we have both ignorance and knowledge. And when you put the two together, it creates a tension between what we know and what we do not know. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do, and that is to be vigilant. He said, when you know and do not know, you cannot help but be vigilant. Not only are we ignorant of the timing of Jesus' return, we are also uncertain of the circumstances pointing to his return. So in Mark chapter 13, there's a reference to the abomination of desolation. There's a reference to the budding of the fig tree, and also the generation that will pass before the end happens. Now, all these references have kept biblical scholars and theologians busy for a large part of the last 2,000 years. There's no consensus on exactly what they mean. Well, I personally spent 7 years studying this chapter for a research thesis for Aberdeen University, and I don't have satisfactory answers to many of the questions. So what do we do? Well, like what Mark Twain says, many people are bothered by those passages in scriptures which they cannot understand. But as for me, I always notice that the passages of scriptures that trouble me the most are those I do understand. How true? Why should we be bothered by those we do not understand? Better be bothered by those we do understand. So we look beyond the speculative, the unsure, the controversial, to what is sure, a certain, what is clearly taught in scriptures. Jesus will return, and we better be ready and watchful. In our first 2 points, we are reminded to look beyond the seen to the unseen. What is God teaching us through the COVID-19 pandemic about what we can see and what we cannot see? We are reminded ourselves also to look beyond the short term to the long term. What is God teaching us about patience and endurance? And finally, we are to focus on what we know for certain, rather than on what we do not know. We do not speculate or second-guess what we do not know and cannot know. So in the midst of all the uncertainties of the global pandemic, how our lives, our livelihoods, and our national economies have been affected, where do we look to? What do we see? What do we do? There's so many things we do not know. We fix our eyes on what is sure, what is certain. Let me close with a true story that took place some 200 years ago. Now, towards the end of the 18th century, the 1780s and the 1790s, there was a sense that the world was coming to an end. Momentous events were taking place in Europe as well as in North America. Perhaps a bit like what happened recently in 2016. You know, Brexit was shocking Europe, and Trump, the election of Trump, was shaking the United States. But through all these events taking place, it was a sense that the world was coming to an end. Now, the year was 1780. In North America, the Connecticut Assembly was convened. And as the Speaker of the House rose to speak, a loud roar of thunder outside shook the gathering. And the thoughts of everyone in the House was, is this the end? Is this the end? Well, the Speaker made this announcement. He says, either this is the end of the world or it is not. If it is not, we should proceed with the business. If it is, I prefer to be found doing my duty. What an example of watchfulness. So let us be found at our post. No matter what happens, let us be found watchful and faithful until we see our Lord face to face. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, grant that we may hear you afresh what you spoke long ago and now written in scriptures for our instruction. Help us to heed your call to watch, to be on guard, to be vigilant. Help us to see beyond the seen to the unseen. May we not be preoccupied with possessions and distracted by activities, that we fail to see beyond them to the unseen and the eternal. May we not be asking for instant deliverance when you desire us to learn patience and perseverance, to grow through our pain, to be more like you, Jesus. And may we see beyond what we do not know to what we do know, your return, Jesus, one day to set all things right. May we be found watchful and faithful when we see you face to face, for your glory and for your name's sake. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons.